Voyage of Innocence, written by Elizabeth Edmondson and read by Nicolette McKenzie.
Prologue. October 1938.
Sir, it's an emergency.
The officer of the watch tried again, speaking more loudly and urgently.
Sir, Captain, sir, please, wake up. It's an emergency.
Reginald Sherston, captain of the SS Gloriana, passenger vessel bound for India, lifted his grizzled head from his starched white pillow. His eyes opened, the faded blue eyes of a man who had been at sea since he was a boy of 14. They looked at the first officer, a capable man, not given to fuss, and across to where his steward was hovering, his uniform in his hand.
"Tell me about it, Mr. Longbourn."
Minutes later, Captain Sherston was on the bridge. The officers in their white uniforms went quietly about their duties. The man at the wheel, locked on its course, was alert. They were all intent on what the first officer and captain were saying. The ship sailed on through the waters of the Red Sea. Above them, the sky blazed with the brilliant stars that were the gift of ocean travel, and were reflected in the inky, gentle swell. The throb of the engines was steady, reassuring.
"This Mrs. Hotspur, a passenger to Bombay. She went ashore at Portside?"
"Yes, sir, for the day."
"Did she go on one of the tours to the pyramids?"
"No, sir. She went ashore with friends."
"But came back on board?"
"As far as we know, sir. Her re-embarkation card was handed in."
"And her stewardess says her bed wasn't slept in last night. Who is the stewardess?"
"Pigeon, sir."
"She didn't report it?"
"It happens, sir, that a woman might..."
The first officer looked at Captain Sherston's Presbyterian face, and he swallowed.
"Spend the night elsewhere, sir."
"The dining room stewards say she didn't take breakfast, lunch, or dinner today."
"That's correct, sir."
"And this 10-year-old boy, Peter Messenger, says he saw her standing by the rail on sea deck at about 9 o'clock, 1 hour and 10 minutes after we sailed from Portside?"
"Yes, sir."
"Tell me about Mrs. Hotspur."
The first officer consulted his notes.
"Mrs. Verity Hotspur, a widow, I understand. A very charming lady, and a cousin of Lady Claudia Vere, who is also aboard. She joined at Lisbon. It was Lady Claudia who raised the alarm."
"Lady Claudia Vere. So this missing passenger, Lady Claudia's cousin, will turn out to be connected to all kinds of important people."
"Bound to be, sir."
Captain Sherston let out a long sigh.
"Emergency procedures for man overboard, Mr. Longbourn."
"Yes, sir."
Then when the orders had been given, the first officer asked,
"Not much chance for her, is there?"
"None whatever. If she missed the propellers, the sharks will have got her. If not, she'll have drowned."
Part 1. September 1938. Chapter 1. Verity came out on deck into one of those pale autumn days that hovers between rain and sunshine, a breath of wind rippling the still waters of the harbour, warned that summer was yielding to autumn. Despite the light wool jacket she wore, she shivered, both from the chill in the air, which heralded the approach of winter, and from an inner cold of fear. Fear for the times, with the shadow of war looming over the country she was leaving. Fear for herself. She was no longer afraid of war itself, since there was nothing she could do to prevent or prepare for that. What made her afraid? Her nightmares? Klaus and his successor, that flat-faced man with no discernible personality? Her future? Her brother's fate? All of those. Gulls drifted in the sky above her, and bobbed on the oily waters far below, their eerie mews a counterpoint to the whistles and hoots of tugs and the flotilla of other vessels going to and fro in the busy harbour. V sniffed the salty air, the dockland tang of tar and sea and smoke, and it brought a bitter taste to her mouth.